Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
What's up and welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. We are here on Friday, November 19th. Michael Beller taking you through our Friday episode, which, as always, is a look at the gambling slate coming up for us on Sunday and, in some cases, Monday night. We'll leave that out there as a little bit of a teaser. Is anyone going to pick the Buccaneers-Giants game? We'll just have to wait and see. Also with me, of course, Vic Tafer. Vic, what's going on, my friend?
Going good, man. How you guys doing?
We are doing all right. Also with us, I can see it right now on the screen, the muted Zach Jackson. Zach, unmute yourself and what's going on, man?
Sorry, we're struggling here today. I cover the Browns and it's been a rough week for all of us. So otherwise, we're good.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week, certainly, over there, going back to last Sunday and the huge loss for the Browns that I was on the wrong side of last week. That was one of the three that I was on the wrong side of, so 2-3 for me. 0-5, unfortunately, for our friend Vic. Let's start with the good, though. Zach, 4-1. We said it last week. All it was one good week away from being turning a profit, and there you are with the 4-1 week.
It's better to be lucky than good, Michael. You know that.
That is definitely true. All the stuff I do, actually, for our company here is fantasy football and gambling. And it's like those are the two things in life where it's like very, very much, much, much better to be lucky than good in both of those. So, hey, we'll happily take it. The 4-1 for Zach pushes him to 23-21 in the season. Like I said, a little bit of a profit margin there. So let's just get into it, guys. Let's get into our Week 11 picks. And I want to start, actually, Zach, with that Browns and Lions game, because obviously you have an expertise on it. And you two guys, Zach and Vic, both you guys have a pick as one of your five faves on this. So let's start with you, Zach. First, just what are your feelings about this game? Lions coming in as 11.5-point dogs, the total 43.5, and then your pick for the game as well.
Well, the Browns need a get-well game, a triple dose, and here come the Lions, right? Off an overtime game. And Jared Goff not going to play. Now, the Lions want to run it anyway. There's some weather coming in. I don't think it's going to be like severe winter weather, but mid-November, late-November weather in Cleveland can be nasty, and that stadium right on the lake can be its own weather center. The Browns can't throw. It's terrible when they try. I think both teams want to run. I think both teams want to play this game in 2 hours. And I think the Browns win at 24-10. Easy under for me.
Sounds like you want it to be played in 2 hours.
Yes. Let's pray.
I'm sure our colleague Chris Burke would also be very happy with that as well. Detroit Lions beat writer here at The Athletic. Vic, what's your pick in this game?
Yeah, I'm going to give Zach the kiss of death. I agree with him. So, therefore, this pick will lose. I think it's a great spot to bounce back. I mentioned Jared Goff is banged up. But, you know, Jared Goff healthy stinks, so I'm not sure that really matters. But I get the sense the Lions, they were everything in that game last week. I think they realize now they're not going to win a game this year. I think it gets ugly in Cleveland.
I'm surprised the total is as high as it is, which feels ridiculous to say for something that's 43.5, but we've seen books come in and set lines at 40.5 this season, and with the Lions playing the way that they are, this is a team that, outside of that week one anomaly against the 49ers, has scored 19 points as a maximum in their other eight games. The Browns, all the troubles that they're having throwing the ball, like, I'm surprised to see it at 43.5, so I think the under is a good play, and I like the Browns too as well. Can't really quibble with either of you guys on your picks. For my first pick, I'm going to get us to a game where I'm the only person who has a pick on it. It is Carolina and Washington. Panthers are -3 right now on BetMGM, and I like that. I think it's a fair line, but I like the Panthers in this spot. First of all, I'm going to start on their side of the ball offensively. Cam Newton, at the absolute worst, throwing the ball, you guys, and we saw some ugly stuff from him in New England last year. At the absolute worst, can't be any worse than what this team was dealing with Sam Darnold. So at the very worst, I think we have a quarterback floor. Then you factor in what Cam can still do as a runner. We saw it last week. He's always been, in his entire career, one of the most dangerous inside the five runners in the NFL. It looks like that is still part of his game. It was part of his game last year in New England. What does he do? Very first snap he takes of the season. Inside the five-yard line. Seems like the Cardinals' defense has him corralled, pushes two defenders off him, waltzes into the end zone for a touchdown, announces to everyone that he is back. And I think that that's a big move for the Panthers. I think that getting him can push this team into the playoffs, even if it is the 2020 version of Cam Newton that we're looking at in 2021. You've got a fully healthy Christian McCaffrey, potentially some unlocking going on for both DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, and a Washington defense that was already struggling now without Chase Young. They were having tons of trouble getting to the quarterback with Chase Young. It's not going to get any better without Chase Young out for the rest of the season after tearing his ACL. On the other side of this, you've got a Panthers defense that is second in the NFL in EPA, going up against a Washington offense that, sure, they threw up 29 points against the Buccaneers last week, but two Tom Brady interceptions, both of them set the Washington up in Tampa territory. They turned those into 10 points. I don't think you're going to get the same sort of thing every single week, obviously, and I don't think you're going to get that against Carolina either. I like this a lot. I like the Panthers -3. I think they ultimately win this game by a touchdown or more, so maybe even look at to pleasing this and getting this up to 4, 4.5, 5. I think the Panthers ultimately win this one going away and announce themselves as big-time wildcard contenders in the NFC.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Next game let's get to a game where Vic and I are both sharing a pick. We are both on the Texans at the Titans. The Texans are 10.5-point dogs in this game. Vic, I'm going to let you set this one up. I really like the Texans in this spot. Last time I really liked the Texans, they ended up getting embarrassed. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But Vic, set up our argument first, and then I'll come in and add an exclamation point.
Well, I just think it's a good spot. And the Titans obviously had some success of late. I think they're they can't be too worried about the Texans. And also, they barely won last week. I think they do definitely miss Derrick Henry. I think Tyrod Taylor, I think, is a viable option for the Texans. I think they'll get some points. So I think it's a close game. I think it's a good spot for the Texans and a close game.
Impressive. You got to admit it, that the Titans are 2-0 without Derrick Henry. They are obviously a different team. They are obviously a different offense. That is very easy to see when you watch this team without Derrick Henry. And they're 2-0. You got to hand it to them. And now you look at the way the schedule is setting up. And even without Derrick Henry, we have to call them the favorite to get the one seed and the only bye on the AFC side of the playoff bracket. But they're a different team. They are a much, much different team. They have played two close games without Derrick Henry, and I think we're going to see a third without Derrick Henry. They have 100 fewer yards per game, you guys, without Henry in these two games. That is a major difference. This is a running back who really is the engine of his offense, and there is no way to cobble together a Derrick Henry-like performance from Deontay Foreman and Jeremy McNichols and the husk of whatever is left of Adrian Peterson. That's just not how things are going to work. Now we've got Tyrod Taylor back, and it's not just Taylor back. That last game where I said I really like the Texans, that I liked. It was his first game back. He wasn't quite all the way there. I jumped the gun a little bit on that. That was now 2 full weeks ago because the Texans then immediately had their bye. So now he's 2 weeks healthier, 2 weeks fresher, 2 more weeks of reps with the ones in practice. I think the Texans can keep this within 10.5. They're not winning this game, but I think they keep it respectable. I think they keep it close. I like the Texans getting that many points. We just haven't seen enough from the Titans without Derrick Henry to think that they are going to beat really any team by this number. So give me the Texans as well over the Titans. Zach, for your next pick, we're going to go to Vic's game. So actually, first, Vic, why don't you set this game up? The Bengals are 1-point favorites in Las Vegas. A big game when you look at the way the AFC is shaking out. What are you expecting to see in this one?
Yeah, both teams are very similar. Both teams obviously got the good starts. They were kind of thought to be like serious playoff contenders. Now they're both at 5-4. And the loser of this game, you might say, is in trouble. And I think the Raiders, they've lost 2 in a row. They haven't looked very good offensively. So I think you wonder just how much of an effect, you know, losing John Gruden and Henry Ruggs has had and will have going forward. And is DeSean Jackson really going to be a viable guy for them getting the ball deep and open the top off the defense? So I think a lot of questions for both teams. So I think it will be a fascinating game.
Yeah, you know, one reason I like the Bengals is they're off the bye week. And going back to what you guys picked before, Cam Newton's touchdown celebration was actually longer than Joe Burrow's vacation. But the Bengals, I like the Bengals. This is a good offense. It's an improved defense. They need the game. And even the last time out, they got whooped by the Browns. But if you look at it, they turned it over deep in their own territory 3 times. And they gave up big explosive runs to Nick Chubb that really kind of squelched any chances of a comeback. You know, the Raiders don't explode like that. The Raiders' offense is reeling. I just think the Bengals, with 2 weeks to prepare, with some time to heal and lick their wounds from the last game, I think the Bengals are a playoff team, and I think they show it on Sunday afternoon.
I'm with you on the Bengals. I think they're a playoff team as well. That was also – there was a Denzel Ward, right? 99-yard interception.
Yeah, as the Bengals were going in,
Yeah, and that was the first – that's the first score of the game. I mean, right there, that's a – that's an enormous flip of a game, an enormous way to change things up. So I like the Bengals coming out of the bye, too. I think they're in a good spot here. I'm with you on the Bengals. That is not the only AFC North versus AFC West matchup that we have this week. In fact, Sunday Night Football, Steelers and Chargers getting together with the Chargers as 6.5-point favorites at home in this one. Steelers very banged up on both sides of the ball. No word about Ben Roethlisberger just yet. Both starting guards going to miss this game. Chase Claypool could miss another game. Minkah Fitzpatrick out. TJ Watt potentially out. And Vic still sticking strong with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's hear why.
Yeah, wasn't there a game a couple years ago that there was a similar situation? Some guy named, was it Duck? Was the quarterback named Duck?
Duck Hodges.
Duck Hodges.
Yep.
Yeah, so Doug, the ghost of Duck Hodges will fly over the field. I just think the Chargers have not been at all impressive. I don't know. Somehow they made Mike Williams, who's a huge guy, he's disappeared somehow. So I just think that Herbert was the darling of the league a month ago. Now he's really having a hard time. So I think it's a close game. Steelers defense is still hard-nosed and makes plays. And I guess more of an anti-Chargers bet than it is Steelers. But I think that its number is too big. So I like the points.
6.5 is a big number. It's up from, I want to say it opened at 5. It might have even been 4.5 on BetMGM. I can't remember exactly. That was a few days ago. But it certainly was at 5 at the very most. And now we're all the way up to 6.5. This is one that could come down to the wire with everything we know about the injuries on both sides here. And given that it's a COVID situation for Ben Roethlisberger, this is not a Saturday activation sort of thing. This could be something where he's activated and started an hour before this game kicks off. So obviously he's going to change things, whether it's Ben, whether it's Mason Rudolph. 6.5, a lot of points, certainly. I got to say, I would lean for the Chargers in this one. But an easy stay away for me. Not a stay away for me or Zach is what could be the game of the week. Definitely. On the fantasy football side of things, the game of the week, Cowboys and Chiefs. The Chiefs, 2.5-point favorites in this game in Kansas City. The total, 55.5, and that is where both Zach and I are going, not only to the total, but to the over. Zach, why don't you set this one up?
Well, you look at last week, and maybe the Chiefs' offense is fixed. Maybe we'll see. You know what's not fixed? The defense. My cousin Deshaun fumbles the ball. Before that, they played Daniel Jones and a skeleton crew. You know, I think Travis Kelce looked healthier. I think this is an interesting game for both teams. They need it. They're both playing for, you know, division titles, and Cowboys have theirs basically clinched. But for seeding, I think it's going to be a shootout. I just do. I think it's going to take 31 or 35 to win this game. I think both teams will game plan and act accordingly. And I think it would take several turnovers or red zone failures to stop it from getting there. But I think it's like Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill, CeeDee Lamb. I think this lights up the scoreboard, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it go over 65.
I'm right there with you, Zach. I think this is a very high-scoring game. It's up to 56.5 in some spots. BetMGM still has it at 55.5, and I just feel like this is a very comfortable over. It's one that I definitely expect to play to the script that we think it's going to. And this is just, you know, this is the way that really both of these teams play. It's the way that the Chiefs have to play because of how bad their defense is. They pretty much need to get into the 30s if they're going to win games. And then, you know, let's look back at the games that Dak Prescott has played this season. They scored 29 in week one, just 20 in week two, 41, 36, 44, 35, then 16 in his first game back from injury. I think we can all give him a pass on that. And then last week they go for 43 against the Falcons. There's no slowing down this Cowboys offense. This is an offense that has so many different weapons. They added Michael Gallup a week ago, who, you know, isn't going to put up the eye-popping CeeDee Lamb style of numbers, but is just another person for defenses to have to think about. And now you're talking about a bad defense in Kansas City. How does this team stop, first of all, Dak the way he's going with CeeDee, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Dalton Schultz, both Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard? There are so many weapons in this offense. They can attack you in so many different ways, and they just make a defense uncomfortable on seriously every single snap. So I feel great about Dallas's defense or offense. I actually kind of like Dallas to win this game, but I'm not going to get mixed up in that. I think both offenses show up in a big, big way, and we do see this game get over not only the 55, but I'm with you, Zach. I think this is something like 38-34 and really one of the games of the season that people are ultimately talking about as, oh my God, was that a Super Bowl preview. I think it's going to be a lot of fun with these two offenses getting together on Sunday.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Zach, let's go back to you for our next pick, because another big game, and this is one that I considered. This is my sixth pick. Not going to go with it. But Colts and Bills, this is a big game. This is an important game. This is, I think, a fun game, and a little surprised to see the Bills laying 7, even at home. We got a total right up at 50. You like the Colts. That's the way I was leaning as well. Let's hear why you like this side.
Well, I'm scared to death of 3 Carson Wentz interceptions, but I think they're going to ride Jonathan sure. Taylor, and I'm riding You know, I looked at this and I just couldn't believe it was a full touchdown. Jonathan Taylor is locked in. I think the Colts have settled in after an awful start. They had injuries. They had new guys. They had uncertainty. They're starting to have an identity. You know, I think they've long been a team that has played well in big games. They were just in the playoffs up in Buffalo a year ago. They know they can win there. I think the Bills win the game. I think the Bills win the Super Bowl at this point. Ooh. I really do. But giving me a touchdown here with the way the Colts are playing, I think this one gets decided at the end, and I feel really comfortable taking a whole 7.
Bills win the Super Bowl. We're going to have to take a look into that. I mean, they've got an easier path, right, than anyone in the NFC because of how top-heavy the NFC
Absolutely.
Is. And the Bills definitely look like they've got the most unfettered path of any team that we like to get to the Super Bowl. But, I wonder what the I'm going to look at this when one of you guys is talking. I'm going to see if I can quickly find it. I wonder what the NFC-AFC line is, the look-ahead line without any teams mixed in. It'll be an interesting one for sure. This is going to be an interesting game. I'm with you. That's my lean. Colts love what they have been doing offensively with Jonathan Taylor, just feeding him the rock now week in and week out. For our next game, this is me and Vic now head-to-head. We were together, Vic, on the Texans. We're going to be head-to-head in an NFC North clash between the Packers and the Vikings in Minnesota. Packers are 1.5-point favorites on the road in this game. I've been talking for a little bit, so I'll let you set this one up. Why do you like the Vikings?
I think the Vikings have been kind of hit and miss all year long. I think it was a nice one for them last week. I think they're at home. The home crowd will be a big factor. They get their run game going. Cousins has also been up and down, but I think it's a good spot for him. So it's more of a pick on the Vikings than it is against the Packers. But I think the Vikings announced themselves as legitimate playoff contenders this week.
I think the Vikings are probably going to make the playoffs with the way the NFC is shaping up. We have those five teams that we know are locked into the postseason, and then the two spots are, you know, being jockeyed for with the Vikings, the Saints, the Panthers, the Falcons are still in there. The Eagles are in that mix now. It's like, it's going to be an interesting two teams that fill it out. I think if you just size those teams up, I do think that the Vikings are the best of that group of teams. But I'm riding with the Packers here. This is a team that has covered every spread this season outside of one. And that one was way back in week one when they got the doors blown off them by the Saints, 38-3, an anomalous game. We all know that. We knew it at the time. We saw it immediately the very next week when they beat the Lions 35-0, and we've seen it in every week since then. That's the only spread the Packers haven't covered all season long. They even covered the Jordan Love game spread against the Chiefs, a little bit of a backdoor cover, but a cover nonetheless. And they've been covering games relatively comfortably in Aaron Rodgers' starts. And so I think that that is how things keep going for them. Really like this game. I don't think this is going to be an easy cover. I don't think this is going to be a comfortable cover. And in fact, this game was at 2.5 for most of the week. It was actually just today, Thursday, that the three of us are recording this, that it came down to 1.5. And that actually has me feeling a little bit better about the Vikings, quite frankly. The fact that it's coming a little bit closer to the pick'em line. But I still just think a spread this low, a team that's been a cover machine like Green Bay, they're the better team. They've got the better quarterback. They're now, even without Aaron Jones, it feels like a fully healthy team because of what A.J. Dillon can do stepping in for Aaron Jones. We've seen it this year. And that defense, guys, has really turned a corner. And I don't think any of us really expected it from them, especially without Jaire Alexander to lock things down. But that defense has looked good. Three straight games now. Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, and Russell Wilson. And I know it wasn't 100% Russell Wilson, but it was still Russell Wilson last week. They've done really, really good in those games, giving up a total of 34 points to those three quarterbacks. These guys are looking really good. And so I think that that is ultimately what puts the Packers over the top here. But another, I think, really fun game that we've got for us in Week 11. One more pick a piece. That's it. Flying through things here on this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. And let's go over to Bears and Ravens, where we find a pick for both me and Zach. I've got a play on the side. Zach, you've got a player prop over that I also like quite a bit. The Bears are loving every little bit of David Montgomery that they could get, and they did not hesitate getting him back in the lineup once he was healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you go back, you know, he missed the time, obviously, and that's when Justin Fields started to get more comfortable. But obviously, you go back to when they first put Fields in, and it was a total train wreck. Well, David Montgomery is a really good pass catcher. He's really good in space. He has sure hands. He makes people miss. So not only do I think you're looking at a rookie quarterback facing a blitzing defense and wanting to go there, but I think by design, you want to get David Montgomery involved in the passing game. You know, you don't run it right at the Ravens. You get it to the perimeter, right? So you use him on screens against that blitz. I mean, when I see 17.5 here, I think he has that by halftime. I'm looking at 4, 5, 6 catches, and you know, who knows if he can bust one, but I think he's going to be very involved in both the rushing and the passing game. But against the Ravens specifically, I think you look to best utilize him in the passing game.
Bears have shown us no appetite over the last two seasons to use any other back in any significant way when Montgomery's healthy. And it was surprising that Khalil Herbert played as well as he did when Montgomery was out. And then when Montgomery came back, actually a little bit ahead of schedule, that was it. We didn't see Khalil Herbert. Khalil Herbert was a ghost in that game against the Steelers. And David Montgomery totally handled everything out of the backfield. Have to imagine that's going to be the same here. Allen Robinson, questionable. Talked to Kevin Fishbane, who covers the Bears for us at The Athletic a little earlier today. He expects Robinson to be able to play, but just even more potential funnel in Montgomery's direction. I like the Bears, you guys. 6.5 is the line on this game. Ravens laying the 6.5 coming into Chicago, where I just looked out my window. It's snowing a little bit, you guys. Not going to be anything that lingers until Sunday or anything that changes the way that this game is played necessarily, but it's winter in Chicago is basically what I am driving at here. It is absolutely winter. I think that could maybe change things up a little bit for the Ravens, but it's got less to do with that. It's really got nothing to do with that. It's got a lot to do with what we saw from Justin Fields the last time we saw Justin Fields. That drive against Pittsburgh, that was pre-Micah Fitzpatrick injury, pre-TJ Watt injury. That was a fully healthy Pittsburgh defense nursing a 6-point lead less than 3 minutes in the game. Justin Fields on the road marches the Bears downfield. Two huge throws, two elite-level throws, one to Allen Robinson down the sideline, another one to Darnell Mooney, making the play himself, throwing Darnell Mooney open, throwing it to a spot where only Mooney could catch it or it was going to be incomplete, getting that touchdown that briefly put the Bears ahead before the Steelers came back for the game-winning field goal. we saw Justin Fields grow up before our eyes in the NFL right in that drive. And I just think with the way he's playing, now coming off of the bye, Bears go back into the lab with him for a couple of weeks. I think that's a good spot for the Bears here, getting 6.5 points. Don't think they win. Think they keep it close. Think maybe they do challenge him a little bit. But ultimately, too many points for the Bears to be getting at home with the weather turning, with Justin Fields playing the way that he is playing now. So I just like the Bears in this spot getting as many points as they are. And it's been unfriendly. The NFL this season has been to road touchdown or more favorites. And I know this isn't quite there, but it basically is. I think the Bears are a little bit too competent to be getting this many points against the Ravens. One more pick for the show here. It is another, actually, interestingly enough, home dog getting 6.5 points. Vic, Jaguars plus 6.5 at home against the 49ers. You're unimpressed with the 49ers win over the Rams last week?
I'm not unimpressed, but they've shown they own the Rams. So definitely that's more, I think, of a matchup thing than it was maybe a turnaround to an otherwise bleak season. I think there's still some issues there. I think the Jags, for as bad as they are, their defense has actually been pretty good the last 2 weeks. And I think they're in a good spot to stay close, if not win. I'll say stay close. But I think, people forget, just 2 weeks ago, Colt McCoy was shredding the Niners defense. So I think Lawrence should be able to do enough to keep this game close.
Yeah, that was something else that we got to be maybe paying a little bit of attention to. The Jaguars defense has looked really good the last 2 weeks. And, 1 week, even against the Bills, maybe that's an accident. 2 weeks in a row? Might not be an accident. If they can do it for a third straight week against a team in San Francisco that is finally healthy, right? We got Debo Samuel doing his thing for most of the season, but now George Kittle is back and he hasn't skipped a beat. They've got Brandon Ayuk in the offense. Elijah Mitchell dealing with a fractured finger, but sounds like he's going to be able to play. That Jaguars defense can show up one more week. I think it's now a defense that we would have to take seriously for the remainder of the season. So hopefully this comes through for us, Vic, trusting these home dogs getting almost a touchdown against obviously superior opponents, but maybe not quite as superior as the line suggests. And that will do it for us on this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks to all of you for joining us. For Vic and Zach, I am Michael Beller. We thank you once again for listening. Most importantly, good luck this weekend. Happy betting. We'll talk to you soon.
Trying to stay hot.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.